My sermon title this week is Commitment Without Fear. Wow, that's a challenge. How can we make a commitment? Sometimes we make a commitment and we say, oh, I don't know if I did. But commitment has become a fearful word in our current culture. Whether in careers or marriage or church or even faith, the very word commitment seems to strike fear into the spines of people of all ages. Significant culture paradigm changes may have contributed to this rise in our current zero commitment, instant gratification, social milieu. Whereas 50 years ago, I don't know, now 50 years ago I was 30, so I can remember 50 years ago, a solid resume meant that you were loyal and you stayed with one employer for most of your working life, gaining wisdom and experience that proved valuable to the business. The technological revolution shifted the image of the ideal employee to one with acceptable and adaptable learning, multiple work experiences, you know, doing a couple of things at one time. I'm good at doing that. I think it's because of my ADD. Well, the ability to shift jobs frequently in order to adapt to changing workplace needs no longer was a long-term wisdom value, for the short-term adaptability became the desire to be hired. The internet has also changed our ideas about authority. No longer do we value one trusted authority on the subject, but we take our learning into our own hands, mining Google, other search engines for information on any available topic that we can think of. We can access almost everything and anything, not only fully, but instantly. We've become our own authority. The technological revolution has caused us to embrace a community of online relationships. Oh, where did you get that? Oh, I got it online. Well, that remains convenient, but I love the buts, mostly superficial. As the wellness movement, good in many ways, has increased, we have learned to invest in ourselves rather than others, to care first for our own needs and to value quick and effortless change, making institutions such as marriage and even committed relationships often a thing of the past. Social connection, once centralized within the church or community of situations. And, you know, years ago they even had a thing called the Grange Hall, you know, where people can come together. That's been fragmented into Zoom meetings, coffee shops, semi-sociability, meet-up groups, independence, and individualism rule to the extent never seen before in our history. Knowns and don'ts have made it clear to the institutional church that their needs are better met somewhere else, with emphasis on both their and needs. Wow, our culture has learned to believe that a culture of constant change, that we can best find stability and security and self-preservation, self-attention, self-protection, and we become dysfunctionally attached as a culture. Oddly enough, although, science tells us that those in a committed relationship live longer and flourish better, and that those with close communities live happier and healthier and more stable life. The pendulum of healthy living remains at the current time mostly self and singular focused. So, to be emotionally and spiritually invested has become a looking inward rather than a looking outward manifest. And yet, the kicker remains that to be Christian without commitment is an oxymoron. Interesting, though, we note all of this with our current phenomena. Jesus addressed a similar issue in our scripture today as he took on the pearls of lack of commitment and lack of investment. Although the parable is about talents, gifts, it's clear that Jesus is talking more about money. He talked a lot about money. I think we overlook that sometimes. And he's talking about emotional and spiritual commitment, emotional and spiritual investment, a covenant-style investment, to be clear, intimate commitment, invested with heart, mind, and spirit. And he's talking about how we can best establish a secure identity for ourselves within our chaotic environment by commitment and investment in God, not in self-grandeurness. Remember what Jesus answered the legalist when he quoted in the Shema? "Hear, O Israel, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your strength." And that's the meaning of investment. Covenant commitment is at the heart of Christianity, just as it was at the heart of the Jewish theology of the day. A covenant is a two-way agreement. It requires investment by two parties. And when God commits to a loving value and caring for God's people, no matter what, the other side of the coin means those in covenant with God must also agree to love and to serve God exclusively and to love God intimately and fully and to cultivate that relationship every day, each and every day. So to be in a covenant relationship with God is to be in like a kind of a marriage. I used that analogy before because it's so true. Like when you join the church, standing at the altar, it's like doing a marriage ceremony. It's about relationship, which provides stability and security, as well as encouraging growth and healthy individuality. So marriage is a common metaphor for our covenant with God in the scriptures, and it works in a similar way. Each partner commits fully to the other, body, mind, and soul, and they agree to invest in each other, emotionally and spiritually, encourage each other's interests and growth, to be loyal to each other only, and to be with each other and support each other through everything for a lifetime. At least that's the promise made in that commitment. But in a culture of non-commitment, this is a lost art, along with communication, curiosity, and covenantal understanding. So then how can Christians learn to function without a non-committal society, but with a committed, rich faith? How can Christians battle fear of commitment in their lives and in church, so they can build a kind of an alternative kingdom community that Jesus imagined? You know, we're back looking at Jesus' teaching. We spent a lot of time on the Holy Spirit, but it's important to look at the teachings of Jesus while he was here on this earth. He's given us an awful lot of things to deal with and to understand, and how we can be better at what we do. Because Jesus tries to explain in this particular parable what we call the parable of the talents, or the three servants, and what it means to be fearless and to trust in God with fearless faith. The parable of the talents is about investment in something bigger than yourself, and it's about commitment to someone other than yourself. Most of all, it's about taking risk. Emotional and spiritual risk in order to gain true stability. I can imagine, and I like to imagine, you've heard me say that before, I like to put myself in the situation as I looking at the scriptures and trying to understand them. So I can imagine that if Jesus were telling us this story today, he'd use the stock market or the bank as his primary metaphor. Or maybe he would use a business venture, an entrepreneur, or the lottery, or some kind of wiser investment. We all know that some investments are wiser than others, and more likely to pan out more than others. So when God asks us to invest, God doesn't ask us to invest our lives into shady ventures, but into worthy relationships that'll feed us, that'll nourish us, and allow us to bear fruit throughout our lives that will benefit not only ourselves, but others. Jesus knows that each of us was created very uniquely with unique gifts and personalities. Praise be to God. I'm glad we're not all alike, aren't you? But we don't need to invest all in the same way, but we invest in the ways that we can with the opportunities that we see before us. But there's a problem in that parable. The parable doesn't come up with the investment to choose, but arises with a man who fears investing at all, which is the third servant, but who deems it better to keep what he had to himself, guard it out of fear of being hurt. This is the root of all fear, and we somehow will be hurt if we lose our sense of security or freedom, or somehow fail. You know, that's, and it's okay to fail. I don't know why we take a bum rap on failure, because out of failure, Edison failed about 1,000 times before he hit on the right thing for that electric light. Of course, he had help of other colleagues helping him with that, but they failed together. So this fear of failure can undermine our relationships, our business ventures, our wellness, our parenting, and our churches. So what you do not invest in can never grow, never love, never flourish, never help anyone but you. You see, that's the opposite of what a Christian is called to do and to be. To be a Christian is calling to be fearless, to take risks that feel sometimes frightening, to choose relationships and love over singularity and safety, knowing that with true emotional and spiritual investment comes true joy, true love, true security, and true wellness. So Jesus calls us today, just as he did a long ago, to be fearless in a culture of fear and to be committed in a culture of non-commitment. He calls us to reteach people how to live and to love well, how to lead healthy and emotionally rich lives, and how to invest in each other to create truly great and healthy communities. So being fearless starts with faith. Faith and trust in God. So when we allow God to be our stability, our source for our identity and our foundation and our assurance, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. We need that insurance of God. Everything else feels a little less frightening. It starts with knowing that Jesus has your back. I like that term. You hear that a lot in secular society. I got your back. Well, just knowing that Jesus has our back. He had all of our backs when he sacrificed himself for us years ago. And he continues to have our backs today, because of the person of the Holy Spirit. I hope that you got something out of our understanding our relationship with the Holy Spirit, because he is a person. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It's the third person of the Trinity. But life today can feel insecure, and I know that. I don't need to be Pollyanna. And it can feel fast and chaotic and superficial and often lonely. In God, you can find a better way, an alternative way, a relational way, a fearless way of living and loving that'll feed your heart and nourish your soul. As it says in the Psalm, sometimes we just need to be still and know that he is God. So, my challenge for all of us is this. All of us need to do something. We need to take a risk. And your first step starts now. Reach out. I love some of those commercials and so forth, but that's really what we need to do. Reach out and encourage somebody with the love that God has given to you. And as it says in that little camp song, Fire, it only takes a spark to get a fire going. Be a seed planter. Share your faith with somebody today. It's a wonderful thing. Plant a seed. You don't have to say, okay, beat them on the head with the Bible and say, here, sit down here, I want to give you the plan of salvation. No, plant the seed and let the seed grow. And more importantly, let your life represent what you're talking about. A faith in Christ and how you lead your life. Not perfect. Jesus was the only perfect one. But take a chance and reach out to encourage somebody. Because commitment, really and truly, without fear, is a blessing to be in a commitment. Don't be afraid in being in a love relationship with people, family, friends, church. Commitment is very important. And let your little light shine in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good day.